The Voxa is, of course, the internationally recognized internationally recognized composer whose works have been performed across the U.S. and featured at the New Music Festival in Russia. The concert is pure joy, he said. He's the Millikan Decatur Symphony Orchestra music director and conductor as well. More news after Fox at 7.
He rode a White House wave. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Republican Congressman Ron DeSantis got the most out of his Trump endorsement, winning the GOP primary for governor by 20 points over Adam Putnam, and he's ready to call his Democratic opponent way too liberal. Andrew Gillum pulled off an upset far outspent by his Democratic rivals. The Tallahassee mayor won his primary after being backed by Bernie Sanders.
Folks ought to be able to work one job, not two or three, but one full-time job as a way to make ends meet.
In Arizona, it'll be two women, both members of Congress, squaring off for a Senate seat. Fox's Jessica Rosenthal live in Phoenix.
Dave, an Air Force pilot turned Congresswoman, easily beat her Republican rivals in the primary to run for Republican Jeff Flake's Senate seat. Martha McSally was considered not conservative enough by some Republicans, but also seen as the only real shot they had beating the Democrat. McSally said she has been standing with President Trump this whole time as a Congresswoman.
To cut taxes for working families, create jobs, secure the border, honor our veterans, and when I'm in the Senate, I work with him to confirm judges who uphold the Constitution.
She will face Democratic Congresswoman Kyrsten Sinema, and Democrats have high hopes they can flip this seat. Sinema beats McSally in early polling done of that matchup, Dave.
Jessica, hotel construction project turns deadly near Disney World, six stories up from the ground.
And around 4:30 this morning, that scaffolding gave way, and two of those construction workers plummeted to the ground. They were pronounced dead on scene. Miraculously, we're told that there was a third construction worker on that scaffolding as well. We're told he was able to grab on and climb back to safety.
Dana Jay with Fox 35 TV in Orlando. In Texas, a jury will continue to mold the sentence of a former police officer convicted of murder shooting a black teenager last year. Fox News, fair and balanced.
It's the final days of the Ford Summer Sales Event. The last chance to find an incredible deal on the cars, trucks, and SUVs that make summer go right. Simply stop by a local Ford dealer or shop online at buyfordnow.com. Because the time to get behind the wheel of a new Ford during the Ford Summer Sales Event ends soon. And so do these amazing offers. The Ford Summer Sales Event is in its final days. That means it's the last chance to make summer go right with Ford, America's best-selling brand. Stop by your local Ford dealer and find great offers on many Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs. With leading driver assist technologies, it's easy to see why Ford is the brand more drivers buy and buy again. Look for yourself. But hurry, the Ford Summer Sales Event ends September 4th, 2018. To find out more, head to buyfordnow.com or stop by your local Ford dealer. Best-selling claim based on 2017 calendar year sales.
WSOY News Time is 7:03. Former President Barack Obama visited his foundation's Southside Chicago offices to discuss the future of his presidential center. Obama yesterday told the audience of residents, activists, and community leaders that despite the recent complications, he's committed to building the sprawling campus in Jackson Park. He says he believes the site will have the greatest impact for area residents. Foundation officials in recent weeks acknowledged they were pushing the date back for the groundbreaking. Foundation leaders wanted to break ground on the $500 million project before the end of this year. Before the presidential center can be built, the federal government will review its impact on Jackson Park. Any impact the review highlights will have to be resolved before construction can be allowed. In sports, in his first day as official manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, it was a good one. Cardinals down the Pirates 5-2 last night behind a strong outing of Jack Flaherty on the mound. Meanwhile, an anticipated showdown between Jacob deGrom and Cole Hamels will be decided this afternoon. The game was suspended 1-1 in the top of the 10th inning last night following a rain delay of 53 minutes. That'll get underway at noon this afternoon. And pinch hitter Neil Walker connected for a solo home run in the bottom of the ninth, and the Yankees rallied from a four-run deficit, beating the White Sox 5-4. We have Cardinal baseball again tonight. Game 2 between the Redbirds and the Pirates. Pregame at 6:20. First pitch coming your way at 7:10. Your next news is on the way at the bottom of the hour. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOY newsroom for Neuhoff Media. Media made. Podcasts are not just a novelty. Thanks to smartphones and tablets, they are a way of life. Did you know that in the last month, almost a quarter of Americans have listened to their favorite podcasts? With the Naughty Gator app, you can check out our most popular podcast from Byers & Company, sponsored by Jurger Pediatric Dentistry. You can catch full hourly podcasts from Byers & Company, interviews with your favorite guests, and digital exclusives from Byers & Company you can only catch with our podcasts, brought to you by Jurger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin. So check out the latest Byers & Company podcasts when you download the Naughty Gator app, and you do it today.
Fall is in the air, and that means it's time for high school sports. If you need to get outfitted with the best gear, come to Play It Again Sports in Decatur. Located in Brentwood Village, Play It Again Sports has served the Decatur area for over 25 years. Whether you're playing football, volleyball, golf, or soccer, Play It Again Sports has what you need to have your best season. Looking to sell some new sports equipment? Play It Again Sports will buy it. Visit PlayItAgainSportsDecaturIL.com to learn more. Play It Again Sports. Everybody plays.
Your WSOY three-day weather forecast. We've got showers, thunderstorms today, cloudy skies. Those rain showers should taper off around 9 a.m. with cloudy skies, highs around 79 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 58. For your Thursday, mostly sunny, highs near 80. And Friday, partly sunny, highs near 83 degrees. It is 68 degrees in downtown Decatur. This hour on the company, Dan Trauber joins us from Kirkland Fine Arts Center. Talk about what's on tap there, plus Bishop Thomas Paprocki.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
And welcome back. I'm Kevin Brahaney on Byers & Company, filling in for Brian. He'll be back tomorrow. And this is News Talk 1340 WSOY. Thank you for joining us. It's 7:06 in the morning. Is, I like to say it's shaping up, but it's still raining out there, and so it's just going to be one of those wet, soggy days. Lindsay Romano, are you a fan of fall?
You know, I used to be. It used to be my favorite time of the year. My birthday is in fall.
Well,
you know, and I used to love going back to school. I love the smell of, like, sharpened pencils and, you know, just that kind of thing. And I've gotten older. I'm starting to think fall means winter's coming.
Exactly. It's a precursor to winter.
It is. So now I'm more of a spring, summer kind of person. But there are a lot of things about fall I really do like. Like, for instance, Kirkland.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You could probably.
I'm really excited about this year's schedule, too.
Are you?
Yeah, I really am. I it is really, really looks good.
Well, Jan Trauber is here from.
Hi.
She's the director of Kirkland Fine Arts and has been, or is, and how many years?
This is going on my ninth season.
Man.
But I've been there 18 years.
Okay. So you were Barry's protege?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now you took over for Barry Pearson, and it's been 9 years?
It has been 9 years. That's just unreal, but yes, it has.
Well, you've done a terrific job. I can't tell you how many groups and entertainers you've brought to this community that I know my family's enjoyed. I mean, I go down the list of great, great performances. And some of them were performances that I didn't know anything about.
Exactly, yeah. And that's the beauty of having a venue like Kirkland in this city, that we can bring in acts that people wouldn't have the opportunity to see in any other way. So
it's just like Lindsay said, she's all fired up about this year's acts. And I'm looking at them, and I don't see a famous comedian or anything like that. So, but
she's not a lot of big names.
She's read them, and she said, "Wow, this is going to be great."
You know, you'd be surprised, because if you start doing, like, one of the first ones that they're doing is this the Japanese drums.
Uh-huh. Yes.
The composer that's going to be with them is world renowned. So, I mean, even though it's not a big name, you would know. You're familiar with the Japanese drums, right?
Absolutely.
These women that do that. I mean, like, it's insane. I'm really excited about this show.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. And the awesome thing about it also, as Lindsay said, the director, composer that comes along with is going to do master classes. Now, generally, people think of those just for Kirk or for Millikan students, but we open it up, and anybody in the community is welcome to come.
So that is the added benefits of most of these performers.
Absolutely.
You get to utilize them for the students in the curriculum,
and
now you're getting the community involved.
Absolutely,
huh?
Yes. So watch our Facebook, watch our social media, our website, and as workshop master classes become available,
how many people take advantage of that?
Not as many as what I would wish. An example of that is last year we had Rhonda Vincent, who's the queen of bluegrass. Not everybody loves bluegrass, but it's roots music. It's how it's, you know, a true American genre. And we had a jam session in the afternoon, and we probably had 45 people come.
That's not bad.
So
it's a big class.
But I mean, people come from all over the United States to hear this woman. So
did they bring their guitars?
They did. Banjos, basses, and they just jammed.
How much fun would that have been?
It was awesome. It was absolutely awesome.
Now, do you take part in all these things?
Well, I don't play, but I listen.
I mean, but you're there it is.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Now, didn't that sound fun to you, Lindsay?
It was a great
actually,
afternoon.
That does sound really good. Yeah, because I remember, I mean, Rhonda Vincent was indeed bluegrass. This
yes.
is somebody that is considered a big name.
She is the queen. She has been dubbed the queen. So anyway, but that's just an example of what happened last year. Now, this year, with the Tecosa drums opening up, again, this is a great family show. Lots of activity, lots of noise. If you have a younger child that's interested in music at all, please bring them. It's a great way to introduce them to the arts, and it's not just fine arts. We're, you know, this is performing arts, and this is a great way. All student tickets are $10. So.
All right, and so that starts on September 29th. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
That's the beginning of your season.
That's the beginning of the season.
And I'm just looking at. The tickets are $15 to $25, $10 for students. So that's pretty reasonably priced.
It's very reasonably priced, yes. And we work very hard to keep our tickets at a reasonable rate so people can.
You know, to see an act, let's say a major act in St. Louis these days, you're up in the hundreds of dollars.
Easily.
$125
yes.
a ticket.
And, I mean, we do research and absolutely. A show such as this would probably be at most
65
venues,
bucks.
50, yeah, 50, yep. 75 to 50.
That's what
yes.
I'm thinking. So that's pretty cool. And the fact of the matter is these people are going to venues like that. On the way there, you get them to come here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these are top
absolutely,
groups.
Yes. Yeah, they're professional groups.
Okay,
and
so
these people have been in Europe. So that's why I've been challenged getting things scheduled because they are on touring.
Is it called Tecosa Drums?
Tecosa Drums, uh-huh.
Okay, so that sounds pretty cool.
Right. And then the next weekend is homecoming weekend, and we're bringing back an alum. His name is Joel Kim Booster. He graduated in 2005. I know Joel from when he was a student. He was a friend of one of my daughters. But he is really one of the hottest comedic entertainers in Hollywood.
He's been on Conan O'Brien.
He's been on Conan. He's on Comedy Central, True TV. He's been noted in Forbes magazine as one of the 30 under 30 in entertainment. Esquire calls him one of 10 comedians to watch. He is hilarious. He is a young Asian gentleman who was raised by white Methodist ministers in Ohio. So
no kidding.
Yes. And he has a very interesting message. He's hilarious, but I will put it out there. He is a little blue.
A little blue?
A little blue.
But comedians aren't.
They are. And exactly. And especially when they come on campus. So this show is our only show that's at a different time. It's at 9 o'clock.
What is it with comedians that feel like they got to be really blue to be funny?
I don't know. But
that's
do.
Part of it. If you know, if you've never watched a comedy documentary, that's where the comedy comes from.
I know. I don't buy it. I mean, some of it's okay. But it gets really sometimes. When George Carlin came in here to Decatur, I had to leave.
I mean,
he got into bestiality.
Yeah.
I mean, that was
well,
dumb.
And I was really disappointed in Carlin's. I have to agree, Kevin. And it wasn't, I guess what was kind of raw to me, he was satiring suicide. And
really.
We had lost somebody on campus, and it was painful. So almost my entire staff and I, student staff and I had to leave that night. I mean, not leave the building, but leave the auditorium.
Yeah.
Because it was just too painful. So, yes, I understand what you're saying.
I can handle a lot.
Yeah. But Joel is not like that. No. Joel is young and he's upbeat and he's funny.
I hope he wouldn't be.
Yeah.
He's a Millikan grad. What the heck?
He is a Millikan grad, but he has a special message and he's a lot of fun.
All right. So that's pretty cool. And then, you know, I'm really, how come this guy's coming in October, this Irish pianist? Why is he not in there in March?
I don't know, because that's when we could book him, I guess.
He's real busy in March, I guess.
I don't know. Just,
John O'Connor.
John O'Connor. Have you seen him before?
No, but
he's
his
brilliant
name.
Yeah, he's a brilliant pianist. He is Irish. And he is actually world renowned for being able to interpret Beethoven. He is one of the top Beethoven pianists.
Oh, no kidding. So he's not there to play Irish music. He's there to play classical.
Classical, absolutely.
Wow, this will go over big with some of your faculty members.
Exactly. This is partnering with our director of piano. So,
very
excited about that.
A very sophisticated piano player.
Very sophisticated. Well, he's pretty down to earth, to be honest. He's Irish. He is a brilliant musician, but he is probably one of the most laid-back musicians I've ever met in my life, which is
doesn't. So you know him?
I've met him. Okay. I don't know him well, but I've
How do you find him. These groups?
I leave the day after Labor Day to go to a conference. It's Arts Midwest, and it is basically just a trades convention for the arts. So I'll see probably, there'll probably be 800 agents. So during the show, it's like a trade show. I go from booth to booth to talk to agents to find out what acts are available, what their price is.
Do you watch acts?
Absolutely. And then the evening they have showcases.
That should be fun.
So it is.
So then you get like an abbreviation of people's.
Right. It's a 10-minute showcase.
Okay.
Yeah. So, they have juried showcases, which are chosen by other directors, the peers in the group. It's quite a coup to become a juried one. It's generally those showcases are shown in a historic theater, so it's a lot of fun to go to different cities and see the different facilities. This year, it's back in Indianapolis, so.
So how many years out do you book?
I'll be working on 1920.
Okay.
So just, the next upcoming year.
All right,
which is our 50th anniversary.
John O'Connor is on Saturday, October 27th at 7:30 p.m. $20 ticket. $20 a ticket, and students are $10.
Always $10, yes. And so if you have any students that are starting band, starting piano classes.
So there's all kinds of students, not just Millikan students.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Millikan students actually get free tickets.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. All right.
But these are grade school students, and actually preschool all the way to seniors in high school get $10 tickets.
Okay. Well, let's take a break now, and then when we come back, we'll do the second half of your season. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right. This is Jan Schrauber from Millikan University. She's the director at Kirkland. More right after this.
Today we do have showers, thunderstorms likely until about 9 a.m. today. Cloudy skies and highs near 80 degrees. Then for tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 58. For your Thursday, mostly sunny highs near 80. And Friday, partly sunny highs near 83 degrees. It is currently 68 degrees in downtown Decatur.
If your significant other asks you to slip into something more comfortable and you put on coveralls, then CarQuest Auto Parts is for you. If you never have to remind yourself that it's righty-tighty, lefty-loosey, then CarQuest is for you. CarQuest is for those who really know and care about their car. CarQuest is serious auto parts.
Choose Donnelly Automotive at 1298 East El Dorado. Give them a call at 428-7414. Donnelly Automotive. Great people, great products, great prices.
While the tips heat up this summer, so do the events.
It's hot, boy!
Newhoff Media and Limitless Decatur in Macon County have compiled the ultimate to-do list, bringing you the hot 25 events in the greater Decatur area to attend this summer, driven by the Bob Brady Auto Group.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any hotter.
It's hot, Bob.
At Bob Brady Jeep, the deals are sizzling. Grab a 2018 Wrangler Sport JK 4x4 on the lot and ready to roll. Lease it for just $299 a month, or you can buy the Wrangler JK for only $32,995. Hot enough for you?
It's hot, Bob! It's hot, Bob!
It's hot, Bob!
And don't miss his Summer's Hot 25, brought to you by the Bob Brady Auto Group.
Be sure to hit this week's Hot 25 events. The Amish Cheese Festival in Arthur and the Labor Day Pops Concert in Decatur. Check out the full list of Hot 25 events on NowDecatur.com. Driven by the Bob Brady Auto Group.
Tickets are now available for the Robin Vogel Memorial Dinner, Friday, September 28th at 6 p.m. at the Decatur Club. The event honors fallen Decatur police officer Robin Vogel and helps to fund the Robin Vogel Memorial Scholarship Program. The evening will include dinner and an opportunity to hear from TV personality Tommy Lahren, sharing her support for law enforcement. Tickets are $50 each or $80 for a couple, but only a limited number of tickets are available. Tickets can be purchased at Newhoff Media, located at 250 North Water Street in downtown Decatur. For more information, visit nowdecatur.com.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Welcome back to Buyers and Company. I'm Kevin Brohaney, sitting in for Brian, and you're listening to News Talk 1340 WSOY. I'm here with Jan Triver, one of my favorite people on earth, because she does such great work on it. Our jewel of Decatur, Millikan University and Kirkland Fine Arts. We're talking about this season. We've already covered through October, and we're moving on into the holiday part of it, Jan.
Right.
And it's always fun at Christmas time at Kirkland Fine Arts.
It is. But we'll take a step back real quickly. We're going to co-produce the main stage musical this fall with theater and dance, and they're going to be doing Sister Act.
Oh, no.
Which is going to be a lot of
fun. Well, that wasn't on my list.
Absolutely. That's in November 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Oh, that'll be great.
Right.
Are they doing the whole play, Sister
Absolutely.
Act, or just music from Sister Act?
No, the whole play.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
And they're, for those of you who have not seen a Millikan production, you've really got to. They're phenomenal. They really are.
Well, that brings up an interesting point, because yes, Millikan is known for its fine arts.
Absolutely.
And so you're in charge of Kirkland Fine Arts and mm-hmm. bringing in fine art, real mm-hmm. fine artists. I mean, professional fine art that's been vetted. Mm-hmm. This has got to be wonderful for the fine arts students.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, and that's just not just the performances, but the opportunities for the workshops and the master classes.
So you coordinate and work with the curriculum of the faculty?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So they have an input on who you bring in?
They're becoming more vocal.
If they were smart, they would.
Yeah, and it's just, it's not, everybody is so busy.
Yeah.
You know, it's really hard to make people.
Yeah, but this is almost common sense kind of stuff. This is low-hanging fruit. Boy, if I get in good with Jan Triver, I could bring in this classical piano player.
And Sylvan, that's a perfect example. John O'Connor is actually
all right. Well,
Sylvan's
that makes sense.
Peer.
So they are using common
absolutely.
Sense.
Yeah, and we have there actually isn't a show that I can't think of that we don't have collaboration with this year.
All right,
on campus. So absolutely.
Yeah, and so another reason to send your kid to Millikan University.
It is,
and
right.
not to mention it's been rated one of the finest Midwestern universities in the country.
It is, and especially for the theater and dance program, it is. It's amazing to me when I go to conferences and people hear that I'm from Millikan, they're like, oh my gosh.
Ooh, yeah.
And
you
people
have prestige.
People know that we have got an amazing theater and dance program.
So. I often say when I do this show, full disclosure, I do not have a talented bone in my body, but I love the arts, particularly music. But even when these kids come in here and sing from St. Teresa, or John Stevens brings them in
right.
from the Little Theater, and he had this young lady who played Annie over the
mm-hmm.
summer.
I saw her.
She knocked the cover off the ball.
Yeah.
I've never seen so much talent in such a little
she
person.
She comes to Millikan.
She does?
I said, I hope she does.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. Well, yeah, you got to check into that
exactly.
with John. You guys yeah. probably know each other pretty well.
We do, yeah.
All right, so let's move on. So we're a holiday jazz.
Yes, that is the second most popular holiday offering on campus, of course, being the first being Vespers, which is the first weekend. But on December 8th, we'll be doing holiday jazz. This will be our 11th anniversary of holiday jazz, featuring another Millikan alum, Angel Specia, who sings like an angel.
Really?
And looks like an
angel.
Is
that a man or a woman?
A woman, yeah. Okay. She's very, very popular in the Chicago jazz scene. So we're always excited for her to come. She's got a
Lindsay's laughing at me. I've seen...
I know there's angels that are...
These musicians call themselves everything.
Oh, yeah.
So you never... It could be Angel Carmichael or something like that.
It is Angel. She is Angel.
All right.
So anyway, yeah, but that's a great evening. And, of course, that is featuring our jazz sextet from campus.
Oh.
So lots of Milliken.
Yeah, that's great.
Lots of Milliken talent.
So that's on December 8th.
December 8th, correct.
7:30?
Yes.
That's a Saturday night. So these are things to do on Saturday night.
I think the only show that is not on a Saturday night may be our closing act, which is on a Friday.
And we'll get to that closing act. Yeah. Now we're in February.
This show is another perfect example of collaboration. This
the
is
Langston.
The Langston Hughes Project, and it features Langston Hughes' homage through music and verse, basically covering the struggles for artistic and social reform in the 1960s.
See, now Langston could call himself Angel Hughes, and I would have bought it.
Right.
So anyway, these jazz people, they always have these kind of...
Right.
But Langston's a pretty normal name, I guess.
It is, yeah. But anyway, it's a great show to offer during Black History Month.
And he's a trumpet player.
He was a trumpet player, yes. Yeah, and actually the gentleman that comes and recreates Langston's music is a renowned academic from the West Coast. And I'm drawing a blank on his name, but anyway, he's awesome.
Was it last year that you had the Marvin Gaye singer?
It was a couple years ago.
Was that 2 years
Brian
ago?
Brian Owens. Yes.
Yeah, he was remarkable.
He was another Milliken alum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he had Marvin Gaye down really well. And he kind of gave the history of Marvin Gaye.
You know, he doesn't do that show anymore.
He was out of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He does Johnny Cash now.
Does he really? He went from Marvin Gaye to Johnny Cash?
Yeah.
Holy cow, that's versatility.
It is, but he's an awesome artist. He also has a special program that he works.
Well, bring him back with his Johnny Cash.
Well, I'm thinking about it. I'm trying to think of how ticket sales would go with that, but we'll see. We'll see. But anyway, back to Langston.
He would not be a Johnny Cash lookalike, I'll tell you that.
No, he would not.
He looked like Marvin Gaye,
though.
Yeah, exactly. That Marvin Gaye stocking cap on and everything.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Okay, so let's keep going.
Okay.
Kevin Spencer.
Kevin Spencer. This is another very interesting opportunity for the community. Kevin is an illusionist. He's been at Milliken four times, I should say.
Oh, that'll be neat.
But he's taken his art of illusion, and he's kind of turned it on its ear, and he now works with special needs community. The last time Kevin came, I had written a grant, and we went out to Macon Resources, and he worked with the people out.
I'm looking at this picture and I see what you're talking.
Yeah.
This is really cool.
It is very cool. So we're working with the School of Nursing, Sports Medicine, Behavioral Science, Education on campus, and he's going to be working also in the community with special needs.
So that's on March 19th through the 22nd.
Yeah, it's a whole week's long.
We have two more to do and only about a minute and a half.
Okay,
so
Pink Floyd Laser Show. This is a fun show. Gentleman who has developed and produces a show's coming along to do workshops also with the students about how to create art. And then our final show is Triplets of Belleville, which is an amazing, beloved animated film, which is award-winning. And the composer of the music actually comes along and leads and directs the Terrible Orchestra of Belleville. It's a jazz ensemble.
Are we talking about any particular
live.
Belleville, or is this
Belleville,
Illinois?
In France.
Oh, okay.
France. It's a French film. So
it goes to show you how unsophisticated I am. I had no idea what
it's
that
is. It's a great silent film. But the cool thing about it is the orchestra comes and plays live, and then there's a Foley artist who does all the sound effects in front of the audience. So very entertaining, very unique. And we're excited because we now have a projector large enough to show movies in Kirkland, too.
Do you do much of that?
We haven't yet, but we plan to. So.
You know, they're doing that at the little theater. I guess that's a great way to utilize the facility when you don't have anything going on.
I don't know that we'll show actual movies. It's shows such as this, and a lot of our acts will have special portions of their show where they want.
Jan, it sounds like you've knocked it out of the park again.
We hope so.
What do folks have to do to get tickets? How do they go about doing this?
Call the ticket office, 217-424-6318, or you can go online anytime at kirklandfinearts.com. We now offer beer and wine prior to an intermission in the lobby for sale.
All right. We'll wrap it up right there, and we're going to go news. And Bishop Pabraki comes on right after Tupper.
WSOY News Time is 729. TBS 61 Board of Education gave Superintendent Dr. Paul Frigo permission to formulate a plan for beginning the process of replacing some aging facilities. The board voted 6-0 with Brian Hodges absent to authorize Frigo to submit health, life, and safety amendments to the state that would enable the district to fund replacement construction. Johns Hill and Durfee are top the list targeted for replacement. The initial plan would be to build a new Johns Hill school in the vicinity of the current one, with displaced students moved to Thomas Jefferson, which would likely eventually become the home of a consolidated Montessori program. Stephen Decatur would then be expanded and become the district's lone middle school, with a sixth grade included. Dr. Frigo pointed out one of the pressing needs is to get air conditioning in all of the district schools, noting that early dismissals were required Monday and Tuesday because of excessive heat. He also noted that DPS probably has too many schools. More news after Fox.
I'm Lillian Wu. President Trump just now touting on Twitter Congressman Ron DeSantis' win in the GOP primary for Florida governor, something the president's inner circle is keeping up on morning talk shows.
I can't think of a candidate in this country who's leaned in more to the presidential endorsement than Ron DeSantis. He was down 20 points, won by 20 points.
Counselor to the president, Kellyanne Conway on Fox and Friends. As for the opposition,
the progressive Democrat endorsed by former presidential candidate Senator Bernie Sanders. Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum pulled off a major upset, narrowly beating the establishment frontrunner.
Fox's Ellison Barber. And breaking news on the GDP for the second quarter, up 4.2% versus the estimate of 4%. Fox News. We report, you decide.
WSOY News Time, 731. Governor Bruce Rauner has signed a law allowing medical marijuana to be used as a painkiller instead of highly addictive opioids. The law the governor signed yesterday is effective immediately. It allows physicians to temporarily prescribe cannabis for pain relief as a means to combat a growing opioid addiction epidemic. The Illinois Department of Public Health reports that 11,000 people have died from opioid overdoses since 2008. Opioids caused nearly double the number of 2016 deaths as traffic accidents. State Representative Kelly Cassidy was the House sponsor. The Democrat says the plan to reform pain treatment and provide more options to patients who would otherwise be faced with choosing addictive opioids. The law creates a pilot program which includes safeguards against abuse of the medical marijuana program. In sports, in his first game as a full-time manager, Cardinals gave Mike Schilt the win with a 5-2 victory last night. Cubs and Mets were suspended at the top of the 10th inning due to rain, tied at 1. That game will resume today at noon. And it was the Yankees rallying from a 4-run deficit, beating the White Sox 5-4. Cardinal baseball tonight on WSOY, pregame coming your way at 6:20. Your next news is on the way at the bottom, top of the hour. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOY newsroom for Newhoff Media, media made locally.
I'm Chris Thompson, lieutenant with the Macon County Sheriff's Office and lifelong resident of Macon County, and I support Jim Root for sheriff. Jim is the best candidate in the upcoming election for sheriff. Jim is an honest, hardworking man of integrity, morals, and good character. Jim is the no-nonsense, get-things-done candidate, which is exactly what is needed in a sheriff. Do not be fooled by false promises and fancy wordsmithing. Do not let the state Democratic machine influence your vote and this election with their money. On November 6th, I am asking for you to join me by voting for Jim Root for sheriff.
Paid for by Jim Root for Sheriff Committee.
Your WSOY three-day weather forecast. Showers, thunderstorms likely today. Cloudy and highs near 80 degrees. Then tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 58 degrees. Thursday, mostly sunny, highs near 80 degrees. And Friday, partly sunny, highs near 83. It is 69 degrees currently in downtown Decatur.
You're listening to Buyers and Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
And good morning to you, Mark Tupper. Are you the space cowboy or the gangster of love? That's what I want to know.
I don't know. I don't know which of those. I do remember having that album, though.
I know. That's a great song. Mark, we're going to be talking about Jim Harbaugh, it sounds like.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of characters in the world of college sports, and you'd have to say that University of Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh is very high on the list. He is just an odd guy, Kevin. Very intense, wired a little differently, always on edge. I've stood next to him many times, and you never are comfortable even standing around him because you know he's going to do something weird. He's going to look at you crosswise. He's just a different cat. I was in Ann Arbor and sat in the front row for his press conference when he was introduced as Michigan's head coach on December 30th, 2014. Remember it well. It was a spectacle. And the mood in that room was very clearly that Michigan would now finally take off and run down Ohio State, and that Jim Harbaugh would soon bring the Wolverines a national championship. And this will be year four for Jim Harbaugh's reign in Ann Arbor, and that stuff has not happened. Michigan has been – they've been good, but their three seasons have been marked by erratic quarterback play, too many turnovers, and mistakes in big games. Jim Harbaugh is 1-5 head-to-head against their two biggest rivals, Ohio State and Michigan State. They did win 10 games in 2015. They did win 10 games in 2016. Last year they won 8, which is considered a dreadful season. But there's a feeling that Michigan might make something big happen this year. And we won't have to wait long to see if that's possible, because Michigan plays at Notre Dame this Saturday evening. Really is college football's game of the week for the opening weekend of the season. For one thing, in year four, Jim Harbaugh has an entire roster of his recruits, including 8 returning starters from a defense that was ranked number 3 in the country last year. But the one player everybody's buzzing about is Michigan's new quarterback, Shea Patterson, who's a graduate transfer who threw 17 touchdown passes in 7 starts for Mississippi last year. I just always thought it would be really entertaining to see Harbaugh in the national spotlight in December, when we pare down the field, when we kind of get a feel for who's going to be in the national championship playoff, because he has the quirky personality to steal the spotlight from somebody like Nick Saban of Alabama or Urban Meyer of Ohio State. And that has not happened yet, but this might be the year for him. Keep an eye on Michigan.
All right, that's pretty interesting stuff there. We come back, we're going to talk NFL. It's just about that time of year when the first game's on Thursday night in September, right, Mark?
That's exactly right, a week from tomorrow.
Yes, and then the 9th is the Sunday where everybody's going to be watching. So
you got it.
More with Mark right after this.
There's a secret ingredient to a healthier life, one that's available right here, and that's your local pharmacy staff. Our pharmacy staff at Dale Southlake and Coley's Corner are your medication experts. We're professionals who understand that dispensing our knowledge about your prescriptions are just as important as the medication itself. Buying local keeps more money here, not in a big box CEO's pocket out of town. Stop in Dale Southlake Pharmacy or Coley's Corner Drugs today, or call 429-5165 for free delivery. We're friends helping friends.
Well, Mark, you know, I'm excited about the NFL. I'm heading off to Foxborough for the game on the 9th. I can't wait.
I'm excited, too. You know, tomorrow night is the final NFL preseason games, including the Buffalo Bills at the Chicago Bears. The regular season, as we said, Kevin, opens a week from tomorrow with a matchup that should be two of the better teams in the league, and that would be the Atlanta Falcons at the reigning Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. Most teams open a week from Sunday, including the Sunday night national game, which is the Bears at the Green Bay Packers. And the first Monday night will be a week from this Monday, and it's a doubleheader. The Jets at the Lions, not such a compelling matchup in my view. The early game at 6:10, and then the late game is more interesting, and that is the L.A. Rams at the Oakland Raiders. The Rams got it rolling last season with Jared Goff at quarterback, and the Raiders will be welcoming their new head coach, John Gruden, back to the sideline. You know, we talked about Jim Harbaugh of Michigan as being a big, big personality. Well, John Gruden is that guy, too. You know, he was the head coach of the Raiders previously from 98 to 2001, and then he took over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2002 to 2008, and he won a Super Bowl there in his first year with the Buccaneers. But a whole generation of NFL fans, younger fans, know him simply as an analyst for ESPN on their Monday Night Football broadcasts and for his very interesting John Gruden quarterback camp, which was must-see programming for anyone who follows the NFL draft process. Now he returns to the sideline. He signed a 10-year, $100 million contract to coach the Raiders. And just said, he said, I got tired of sitting in a dark room by myself watching film. And he wanted to get back into coaching, and he's doing that. So, you know, in the case of Jim Harbaugh, in the case of John Gruden, sometimes these coaches can be every bit as entertaining as the players. I think it'll be fun to see Gruden back on the sideline. Don't know how he is, how he will do, but, you know, he's a guy, when he talked as an analyst, he made you believe that he had all the answers. Now he'll get a chance to show whether or not he actually does.
No, I agree with you. It's going to be great to have him back. He is a character, and it'll be good for NFL.
Yeah, it will be.
Hey, Mark, also, if you got a chance in about an hour, or actually at 8:30, we talked to Dr. Jurger, and he's on assignment in Phoenix. So he proxied his Cardinal person to be Tommy Brinkotter. Dr. Chuck Stone's going to be here. We're going to have that debate on which team's going to go further in the playoffs, the Cardinals or the Cubs.
Very good. Well, first of all, both teams have to get there, and they're not there yet, so there's still work to be done. But it looks like they're both headed the right direction, at least. That'll be a good conversation.
All right. Thank you, Mark. And
thank you, Kev.
You'll be back with Brian tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. That's Mark Tupper. And when we come back from this break, we have a very distinguished and very happy that he is with us. Bishop Thomas Pabarocki will be here, our Springfield bishop, and he's agreed to join us, and we're going to talk about some of the things that are going on in the Catholic Church right now and what he plans to do about it here in this diocese. So more of Byers & Company right after this.
Everybody plays.
Everybody plays.
Everybody plays.
Play It Again Sports knows play. We sell and buy new and quality used sports and fitness equipment for less, and we pay on the spot so everybody can play.
Visit your locally owned Play It Again Sports, located in Brentwood Village, in Decatur, or online at playitagainsports.com.
Play It Again Sports, the official sponsor of all those who play.
If your dream house includes a four-bay garage with hydraulic in-ground lifts, then CarQuest Auto Parts is for you. That's because CarQuest Auto Parts is for those who really know and care about their car. Visit your local CarQuest Auto Parts store at Donnelly Automotive. They have the expertise, parts, and tools needed to get you back on the road. Visit Donnelly's at 1288 East El Dorado, or give them a call at 428-7414. CarQuest is serious auto parts.
Free.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
And welcome back to Byers & Company on News Talk 1340 WSOY. I'm Kevin Brahaney, sitting in for Brian Byers, who will be back tomorrow. And at the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to bring my good friend Tim Kaine in. We're going to talk about the late, great Aretha Franklin, and then at 8:30, we're going to talk Cardinal Cubs. But right now, I have the distinguished opportunity, my pleasure, to get to talk to someone I respect very highly, Bishop Thomas Pabarocki. He is our bishop in Springfield. Bishop, Your Excellency, thank you for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. Good morning, Kevin, and good morning to all your listeners.
Bishop, just for context, would you explain to our listeners the size of your diocese, how many counties, how many people that you lead in the Catholic community here?
Well, our diocese, Springfield in Illinois, takes up 28 counties here in the central portion of our state. It goes from the Mississippi River to the Indiana borders, so we cover about 15,000 square miles. And in that area, we have 129 parishes and about 146,000 Catholics. So it's a very large geographic area. Catholics are only about 12 to 14% of the population here, but we have a very, very strong presence in several of the areas, especially in the areas like Decatur and Springfield, Effingham, Quincy, and the Alton, Edwardsville area. Those are where concentrations of our Catholics primarily.
My wife and I had the pleasure and the honor to work with Bishop Lucas on the campaign, Harvest of Thanks campaign, several years ago. But we traveled the entire diocese with the bishop, and we'll get to see what you're talking about. It is a large diocese and very committed people. How many priests would you have in that diocese?
Well, we have about 100 diocesan priests, about 25 of whom are retired, and then about another 50 religious order priests, mostly Franciscans. And we're doing very well with new vocations coming in. We had five priests ordained last May, and very pleased about that. And we have 7 new seminarians coming in this year. So, we're doing pretty well in that regard.
Well, that is impressive, because the priesthood is quite a sacrifice, quite a vocation for a young man to basically give up a lot of things that most men look forward to in their life. The celibacy being one of them. The other commitments that priests make are it's a very rewarding but can be a very tough life, because you really don't have a companion, and your companion is Jesus Christ, and recruitment is difficult in this culture, isn't it?
Well, yes, there are many challenges and sacrifices that a priest is asked to make, but at the same time, it's a very rewarding profession. There are studies that have shown that if you want to call it job satisfaction or happiness in your work, it's very high among priests. In fact, priests are among the highest of any profession in terms of satisfaction and happiness in what they're doing. So, you know, it's very inspiring to me that we have young people that are willing to make this sacrifice and answer God's call, and especially in the day and age today when, you know, we have a lot of very challenging things going on in the church, and when others may be saying they're going to walk away from the church because of those challenges, we have young people saying no, that they want to help and make things better in the church, and so they're stepping up, and I'm really very impressed and very inspired by that.
Well, before we talk about the big challenge going on right now, I just have to say that I know many of the priests that are in your diocese. I know all of them here in Decatur, absolutely wonderful men. And there has been other great men that have come and gone throughout my 40 years here in Decatur. And my heart goes out to them, and my heart goes out to you, having to deal with these challenges of wayward priests and bishops that have caused the problem that now exists in the Catholic Church. And two nights ago, I had the pleasure of having dinner with you and about 25 other fine Catholics of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre, which are gracious enough to have dinner with us every year. And you addressed this situation head on and how you're dealing with, you know, this grand jury report that's come out in Pennsylvania that details the abuses of the Catholic priest and the cover-ups of the bishops in Pennsylvania. And it's like, it's just devastating. And what's it like for you as a bishop here in this diocese to have to deal with this? And I'll just let you talk to the issue.
Well, yes, it is very challenging. And as you said, you know, I just first of all want to commend the many wonderful priests that we do have in our diocese. As you noted, I know there are having a tough time with all this. They're on the front lines, and they're there caring for their people, and it's I guess that's just the way human nature is, that you've got stories about very terrible incidences of sexual abuse of minors, and you know, that besmirches all of us in a way. And I guess that's true to the scriptures. Says one part of the body of Christ suffers, the whole body suffers. So we're all suffering, really, in a sense of what's going on. I mean, there's just been a number of things in the last couple of weeks that, as you mentioned, the grand jury report in Pennsylvania, which goes back a number of years, and you know, some very terrible things that happened over those years, both in terms of the abuse and the way that it was not properly dealt with by the bishops and the authorities and the dioceses. And you know, for as terrible as that is, even the report, however, does point out that we've learned a lot since 2002 when the bishops of the United States adopted the charter and the essential norms, but that's not to minimize what happened in the past, so we need to continue to learn and to make progress on that. Then, you know, we also had the reports, the allegations about Archbishop, formerly Cardinal McCarrick, Theodore McCarrick, retired Archbishop of Washington, D.C., credible reports that a review board found that he had engaged in sexual abuse of a minor many years ago when he was a parish priest, and more recently that when he was a bishop that he apparently had been involved sexually with some seminarians. And so all of that, you know, resulted in the Holy Father, Pope Francis, taking away his red hat, as they call it, took him out of the College of Cardinals, and told him to live privately in seclusion, basically a life of prayer and penance. So that's a very almost unprecedented kind of thing to happen, very severe measures in response to the severity of the offenses. And then last weekend, the report that came out from the former Apostolic Nuncio to the United States, Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. He's a former, you could say, the ambassador. Every country has a representative from the Pope. So he was the Pope's ambassador to the United States. He's retired now, but he issued a report over the weekend saying that he had informed Pope Francis about then Cardinal McCarrick back in June of 2013, and that the Holy Father did not act on that. And so when the Holy Father was asked about that on Sunday on the way back from his pilgrimage to Ireland, he responded simply by saying, "Read the statement carefully and make your own judgment. I will not say a single word on this." Well, that response has been found by many people, including myself, to be inadequate. I could not get away with saying something like that. If I was accused of a cover-up, I couldn't say, well, just read the reports and make up your own mind, but I'm not going to say anything about it. You know, we are being called to be transparent, to be open about this, and so I have called for the Holy Father to share information, what he knew, not only himself but all the Vatican officials and current officials at the Apostolic Nunciature in Washington, to indicate what they knew and when they knew about it, and to really make that clear. And as I said, other bishops are saying similar things. The president of our United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, Cardinal Daniel DiNardo, issued a statement, and he called for a prompt and thorough examination into how the grave moral failings of a brother bishop could have been tolerated for so long and proven no impediment to his advancement. And so he says the recent letter of Archbishop Vigano brings particular focus and attention to this examination, and the questions deserve answers that are conclusive and based on evidence. So that's really where we're at right now, is people are asking Pope Francis to give an explanation and to give the information and so that people can have a better understanding of just what is going on here.
And this Cardinal Annunzio, it has credibility, correct?
Well, he does. He was the Pope's representative here. I had some interactions with him over the years, and I found him. He's rather, actually kind of a low-key person, working very quietly behind the scenes. And so I think this is very unusual for him to be making a public statement like this. He's retired now, so, you know, in terms of what is his motivation, I don't think he's bucking for any higher office or anything like that, but he's retired and just felt that he needed to tell what he knew. And being the Apostolic Nuncio, he certainly was in a position to know these things. His first assistant, the former Charge d'Affaires at the Nunciature in Washington, Monsignor Lanthome, issued a statement earlier this week also saying that he corroborated what Archbishop Vigano said and that everything he said is true. So we still need an investigation into this, some explanation, but at this point it looks that Cardinal Vigano, or Archbishop Vigano himself, is a very credible and highly respected source.
What I'm most impressed about this presentation that you're making this morning and what you said the other night is that you're not treating this like a PR crisis. You're treating this matter as a crime. And I could tell that you're disgusted by it and you're upset by it. But you've been working on this for a long time. Is that correct, Bishop? You know a lot about this matter, and you want the Catholics to feel that this matter is being addressed, is going to be treated like a crime, and you don't want them to walk away from the church.
Exactly, and I have been working on this for a long time. When I was a priest in Chicago, I was appointed Chancellor of the Archdiocese of Chicago in 1992. And the first task that the Cardinal gave me was to help establish a review board and to write policies for sexual abuse of minors. So I was then appointed the Cardinal's delegate, which I did for 10 years as a priest, and then as an auxiliary bishop in Chicago, continued to work with these cases, and now here in Springfield. So I've been working on this for over 25 years. And my approach to this has always been to deal with the problem, to make sure that children are not at risk, that if the review board has found that a priest has engaged in such abuse, that he would be removed from his assignment and be sent for treatment or counseling, whatever, but that he would not be put in a position where he'd be able to abuse children again. So it's the safety of children, and I think that's first and foremost here. It's unfortunate that the negative publicity and all that, but from the time that I've been working on this as a priest, chancellor, and bishop, it's always been to report things to the authorities when they came to our attention, to be public about this, as embarrassing as that may be, so that it would be dealt with properly. But also at the same time, despite all the negativity about this, the challenge, I think, is for faithful Catholics to remain true to the faith. I was asked yesterday, what does this do with people's faith in the institution? Well, the trust of the institution is important, and we need to work on that. But in the end, our faith is not in an institution. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. And the church, in a sense, is a means to that end. The church, the priests, the bishops, even the Pope, we are here to serve, to administer the sacraments, to help people on their journey of faith. But ultimately, it's eternal life, and it's a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's really our goal that we have to keep in mind here.
Well, that's exactly where I'm coming from in my faith, but it has been the Catholic Church that's allowed me to build a strong personal relationship with Jesus Christ and God, the Holy Spirit, and I give my Catholic upbringing that credit, and it's been many great priests that I've known throughout my life that my parents brought into my life, and that's been in my life ever since, and getting to know people like you, that restores my faith in the Catholic Church. My heart goes out to all those great priests who feel like probably have a target on their back right now, and then you got all the anti-Catholic people that are taking this opportunity to really jump on the Catholic Church. But with all that said, it is a horrible problem, a despicable problem that people like you in leadership are addressing. And I think it was important this morning for everyone to hear what you are doing. And I know that you plan to send your message throughout the churches this Sunday. Is that correct?
Yes, I told the priest that I will be sending a homily to them that I would like them to read, so that people are hearing the message from me, same message in all of our parishes. That's very, very rare. I've only done that one other time since I've been bishop here since 2010. But just the gravity and the importance of this matter, I think that people need to hear from me.
Your Excellency, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on this morning.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me and for giving me an opportunity to explain all of this as best I can.
You're always welcome in Decatur.
Thank you. Yes, I get there frequently, so it's a wonderful community, and enjoy visiting the parishes and the St. Mary's Hospital there, so it's really very good.
Thank you. Bishop Thomas Pabrocki, Bishop of Springfield, addressing the big issue in the Catholic Church. Thank you, sir. All right, we'll take a break and come back. have some